You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, I'm Captain Dean, and welcome to another episode recorded at Mellow Matt's Music and More, where the merchandise is cool and the staff is cooler. My guest is a well-known singer, songwriter, or artiste, depending on how you want to put it.
You got to hold your pinky out when you say it.
Yeah. He is Mr. Ry Davis. Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Hi, y'all. How's your mom and them?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Appreciate
so
you having me, man.
My mama.
Yeah. Good deal.
Ry, I met you a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Randomly. But we ran into each other one day. And,
yep.
And it's like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
We almost played together, I think, at one point.
Yeah, a couple times.
I know we're looking for a drummer, but yep. I was busy and couldn't do it. But you've been doing pretty good.
Yeah, I've been doing good, man. Things are going good. We've got new music out there. We're playing a whole bunch of shows and got new music in the can ready to go.
Yep.
So I couldn't ask for anything any better. And people are actually coming to some of the shows. Not a bunch of people yet, but people are actually coming.
But
so that's always
positive.
You're
making progress.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
all that matters. Well, Ry, let's go back to the beginning with the excellent question that I like to have. Where are you from?
I am from Pig, Kentucky.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, R-Y-E from P-I-G is what I tell everybody. They can't hardly believe it, but it's a real place. You can Google it.
It is. Yeah. I know exactly where it is because I grew up on the Warren County, Edmondson County line.
Okay.
And I would leave my house and drive up this back road and go through Pig.
Yeah.
On my way to, I guess, Brownsville or something.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
And there was a restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go there to eat. Every now and then. So I know exactly where Pig, Kentucky
is. Yep, the Pig Diner. Calvin and Ramona is still out there at that place. So yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So.
Well, all I remember it was good. So I need to go back. So Pig, obviously born in Bowling Green, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I was born at one of these hospitals. I don't know.
One of the two?
Yeah, one of the two hospitals. I was born in one of them. And,
yeah. But you've lived there your whole life.
Yep, my entire life. Well, outside of... I played some baseball, and I've actually lived five or six different places, but that's my hometown. That's
right.
Where we're back at now.
Okay.
So yeah.
And growing up in Pig, what got you into music?
Well, baseball actually got me into music, but I never really played any music. I didn't play guitar. I wasn't a songwriter. We sang in church and stuff, but. We were always just real passionate about it. It was one of those things to where my dad was a huge music fan. He was big into Willie and Waylon, Bo Cephas,
right.
and all those guys. And actually, one of the gifts that he got me that had a big influence on my music that was actually not a country album was an old CCR album. They had like a revisited album that they got back into. And I was just always really passionate about it. And it's one of those things where I was the guy that was always listening to music and was the guy that knew a lot about music and really dove in behind the songs and really didn't realize how passionate I was about it until I got out of baseball and realized that I had to have it in my life.
Right. And again, we'll touch on that, but you played baseball for Western Kentucky.
I did, yeah.
And you were very successful
while
you were there.
Yeah, we had a good run. Yeah.
But growing up, just music was strong in your house,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you enjoyed listening to it, but you did not pick up a guitar and start singing and playing as a kid?
Nope. I bought my first guitar when I was in college. I was 19.
Okay.
And then I ended up having an injury.
Right. Now, I know that story, but I'm sure maybe other people do, but what happened exactly?
I was hit in the face with a line drive. When I was pitching, it was an inter squad game, and I got hit. And long story short, it ended up blinding me in my right eye,
right.
and it shortened my career a little bit. It didn't end it. I actually came back and played a little pro ball, but and that's really where the story kind of got started with me into music. I bought a guitar in college and learned maybe like two or three chords, but never really dove into it. And then I got hurt probably a month after that, and then my sole focus was getting back into baseball. But then when I was playing, with the Phillies organization, and man, once you spend a whole lot of time in hotel rooms when you're playing ball. You live in one. I literally lived in a La Quinta Inn and Suites down in Clearwater, Florida, and bought one of those. It was a travel guitar is what it was. It,
right.
On my
campfire kind of things. You can backpack them out to the...
Take it anywhere. It was a Mitchell or something. I can't remember what it was. It almost looked like a ukulele on my big frame.
But, it's like they cut off the fat of the body.
Just had it there. Yeah. And man, just started playing and strumming and really started writing my own songs before I learned any other songs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, were you like listening and being influenced to anything in particular?
Was probably a writer first, and definitely had if you're listening to my music, it's definitely got a Waylon Jennings type four on the floor, like, you know, hit that low end and hammer down on it and see what happens.
That's awesome.
And that's where I started kind of putting my songs based around that. And then once I got released, that's all I wanted to do. I mean, once I started with it,
so
I went
wide
open.
So what happened to you not sticking with it, or why did the Phillies let you go?
It was just one of those things to where I don't know. You know, the numbers were good, and it was one of those things to where I didn't want to be the guy. I was released by the Phillies and actually moved to Chicago after that and played for an independent team and ended up getting released from there. The numbers were good, but it's just one of those things to where you can either stick with it and be the guy who's 40 years old and bounce around the minors not having any money or any type of family life, or you can say, okay, that's it, and walk away. Right. And that's what I chose
to
do.
You either have to be the star.
Yeah,
or at least a part of the roster.
Yeah,
or you're on the double A or triple A.
Yeah, the low end. Yeah, you're on the low end. It was the highest I ever made. It was like A ball or something like that. Or I made it A ball during the season, like double A during spring training. But that's one of those things to where like I could dive in all day and be like, well, I probably could have done this. I probably could have done that. But I fell in love with music, man.
Right. Life's fate. Kind of stepped in and guided you on the path you were meant to be.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, and like I said, I was always really passionate about music. And then after baseball was the point where I said, "This is what I'm going to do." Mm-hmm. And I was still fairly young. So I think
when I was 19, 20 years old.
Well, I was 22. 23 when I was released.
But you got the guitar when you were 19.
When 19.
So while in college, it kind of really took from there.
Yeah.
So I
found that I had a knack for it, and the guys all liked my stuff, and I just kept writing, and I don't know. And that's our main thing.
That's really cool. I'm so used to hearing people learning covers and starting out that way. It's like the typical story.
Yeah.
But you're complete opposite. You picked it up late in life, but started writing your own songs.
Yeah.
And then started learning
covers, and now
heroes
I can
heroes and all of
yeah
that stuff.
And now all I do is play cover, you know. You're trying to learn and get
covers
that influence
pay good.
Yeah, well, and even
on your show, I mean, before we get into all of that, I guess, but on your show, do you merge covers with originals, or does it depend on where you are?
We're at least 50-50 right
okay,
now
good
so we're at 50-50, and
I've always thought that was really important. I
absolutely
know a lot of people that are 100% cover,
yeah,
and yet they write good songs, and I'm like, what's the point? You know, shouldn't you do both and at least let them know who you are?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we started with original music, and then it got to the point to where if we wanted to play, especially locally and like within the region, if we wanted to play, we wanted to be we had to play like, you know, the 4-hour set deal.
Right.
So I started learning a bunch and doing acoustic stuff. After that was actually my timeline's kind of weird, man. It was one of those things to where after I got off the show is when people really wanted to start paying attention.
What was the transition to that, coming out of baseball and playing and writing, and like, when did you even get into maybe your first band?
I didn't get my first band until after the show that I was on, the
so
Rising
leading
Star.
Up to that, and we'll get to that whole spiel, which is obviously a cool story.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had a couple of people from Bowling Green go on national television,
like
singing shows and stuff.
That's
like
a good
that.
Man. It's a good scene around here. There's a lot of talent around here for sure.
But you were just doing your own thing as like a solo artist and learning.
Yeah.
On your own. What? How long did you do that before this television show thing came along?
Probably. Maybe a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, maybe
quick.
A year. It happened fast, man. It's one of those things. I don't know. I've always had kind of a knack in front of people. Mm-hmm. So I was more of an entertainer. I was a songwriter, but when I got on stage, I was one of those guys that, like, people seem, not to sound conceited or anything, but people really seem to pay attention. I don't know when I'm.
Well, it's like you have a good presence.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you're a tall man.
Yes, I'm a big fella. Yeah.
You're a tall guy, but you're also super nice. You're very energetic.
Yeah.
Is that
okay.
One way to put it?
Yeah,
sure.
And
you're just
exuberant.
You're good at getting the room to go, hey, check this out.
Yeah. And that's after I was released from baseball, I played I started playing a few shows. My first show was at the Spillway here in Bowling Green.
Okay.
And I was playing with a friend of mine, Jeffrey Blades, and Robert, the owner of the Spillway. Is me and Jeffrey were doing like, it was not like a songwriter thing. We were kind of switching back and forth, and I only knew like probably 7 or 8 songs total. You know, and that's, I'd learned a few covers and
but
had
by
my
teaming
songs.
Teaming up with him, you could. We
kind of made it last a little
time,
long. Yeah, he would do a couple songs and then I'd play one. That kind of helped us both out. Well, Robert was there and asked me if I wanted to do a show. And I was like, well, sure, I'll play. And like, he gave me a date. And on the way home, Jeffrey was like, you know, that's like 4 hours worth of material, right? And I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So that's when I really started diving in and learning the covers and doing the whole thing.
Did it come natural to you?
Absolutely.
Just listen to a song and be like, oh, I like that song. I'm going to do that.
I'm going to learn it, yeah. And it was raw, and I wasn't very good, and my timing was off, and I had a lot to learn, but I was pretty good on stage. So I knew that if I could get up there and make people pay attention, I always had a pretty decent voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I knew that I could... I knew that I could learn the guitar. I knew that I could learn well enough to get by on that. That was just something I had to put the time into.
Yeah.
But I knew I had something when I started singing, people kind of listened to me. So we got up and
what were you doing in the beginning? Like, who were you covering? Obviously, your favorites.
Classics. Yeah. All it was a very classic country sound because those are the songs that I knew. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to learn all the new stuff. And we don't play a lot of new country. We didn't, and I've never played that kind of stuff. It's been mainly like Willie, Waylon.
Yeah, the greats.
Yeah, the greats. Yeah. And so long story short, that's how that kind of developed.
Mm-hmm.
We just started playing those shows, and then once we got it, it was an acoustic show before I got my band together. And just started cutting my teeth doing that.
Hmm.
And then...
and that led to the...
The show,
like,
yeah.
Audition or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't American Idol or The Voice. This was something that was a very short-lived, I guess maybe it didn't do good in ratings, so it died pretty quick.
Yeah, it died pretty quick, thankfully.
Like, American Idol exploded.
Uh-huh.
And then there were a bunch of copycat shows. This was kind of one of those.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
What was it called?
It was called Rising Star.
That's right. And it was on ABC.
And it was on ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had they had the judges, whatever the difference.
Was it just the one season?
Yeah.
And you were on it.
I was on it, yeah. I'd tried out for American Idol.
Nashville Star was kind of around that time on CMT, I believe.
Yeah. It done its own thing.
Yeah.
So we had, the story behind that was... I tried out for The Voice. I made The Voice, but I didn't make the TV rounds. So that was kind of a weird thing to where, like, you try out and they give you yeses.
You get so
yeses.
Far, and they're
and then they're like, well, like, you got a yes, but, like, they take so many, like, country people and so many, like, pop or whatever.
It's
and
pretty just, obvious that Blake would pick you.
I guess, yeah, I guess. But, I didn't. So we tried out for that and made it. And, like I said, this is all really early in my career. This is, you know,
really
all within
is.
About
I mean,
a year and a
played
half.
A few shows.
Yeah, it was from the time I was released from baseball and was just learning to play to the time I got on the show was within, like, a two-year span. Like, within, all, like, less than two
that's
years.
That's amazing.
It's crazy. And I didn't realize it at the time. I was just going, you know what I mean? I was just working. And so the Rising Star thing kind of happened with my wife. She was my girlfriend at the time. We met in Nashville. She's a songwriter. Now she manages me. And
Brandy's
does all the
standing,
Brandy's
right
standing
here
staring at me, yeah. And so she was like, hey, and this is like before she was managing me, but she was definitely telling me like kind of what I need to do.
Yeah.
I said, hey, there's this new show you need to try out for it. So we went and tried out for it, and it was the same process. It was you had to – get through the first audition, get through the second audition, and then like you went like and did
go down a checklist.
Yeah,
of
and then
getting
you,
through this person. This
so
person.
We went and then we went to LA and did that whole 9 yards out there, and then they called. So we made that, and then we flew back, and then we had to go back out again. And the difference between that show and like all the other shows is ours was live. There was no tape, or even on a delay of any kind. No delay of any kind. The whole thing about the show was that you got it was an app, and you played live. And if you got 60%, then like this, you go out and you sing to this wall is all you sing to, and you go out and sing to the wall. And if you get 60%, the wall raises up, right? Well, me, I'm a year and like 8 or 9 months into my music career. You know, I just played, like I played the Spillway and I'd played like other local gigs and like I'm still learning. I'd never even really played with a band ever. And they throw me out there and I've got, I sing a song and with in-ear monitor. I've never had no in-ear monitor. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know what was going on, but it was cool, you know?
It's
so
like everything comes at you and you're like, I don't know,
let's go sing it. And I think we ended up getting like 40% or something like that. Yeah. And like the wall didn't go up, but I made the TV rounds. The biggest thing that I got out of that, man, was I found out a whole different side of the industry that a lot of people are, they are striving for throughout their whole career. Think, oh, well, if we get on TV or if we do this or we do that, like then that's going to be our big break. Mm-hmm. Well, I was lucky enough that I got to do that early in my career, and I realized that that's not where the break is.
Right.
That's not where it all comes from. Where it comes from is putting in the work.
It's lightning in a bottle. I mean, it's such a gamble.
Right. And you know? The early part of my career is where I learned, okay, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to be the guy who's out there that – I mean, I want to be. I want everybody to know who I am, and I want the people to listen to my music.
But you don't want to ride the coattails of the guy that was on that TV show.
No, I don't want to do that. And I was lucky enough to get in there early enough in my career to see, okay, this is not the type of music I want to make. I really don't want to have to answer to anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to sing somebody else's songs. What I want to do is I want to write my songs. I'm going to go out and play as many shows as I can play, and I'm going to shake as many hands as I can, saying, hey, this is my music. Take a listen.
And that is what you've been doing.
And that's what I've been doing. We play 200 shows a year.
Yeah,
so.
But obviously being on that, even though it was a short-lived TV show and all that, the hype of this town
helped,
caught wind of that, and obviously, so it did help put your face out there, and
we'll use that absolutely.
Yeah. But so coming out of that, that kind of you used it to the point that you needed it,
yes,
to just kind of get launched into the world of being out there,
of just making music, because like I said earlier, all this happened within like a 2-year span.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people that listened to my music didn't even know, or that see me on the show that from around here didn't even know I made music.
Yeah.
I was a baseball guy.
Exactly.
You know, I'm the kid from Peay, Kentucky, played Edmonds County High School, went to WKU, and petered out in minor league ball. You know, that's what people knew me as, and nobody even, a lot of folks didn't know that I sang, they didn't know that I wrote.
So it helped, but it was kind of almost, in a way, maybe unnecessary.
Well, it was,
depending on how you look at it.
I think it's all necessary when it comes to...
It was a lesson learner.
It was a lesson learner, and it was...
You also maybe didn't have to do that.
I didn't have to do it.
Because you would have probably done just fine without going on to that TV thing, you know?
Well, I mean, I think I'd have done just fine, but I think it was a pivotal point that said, okay, he's a musician. Mm-hmm. He's an artist, you know? It went from... That show took me from being the guy who played baseball to the guy who was on a singing show.
Right.
And if I was never the guy that was on the singing show, I don't know that folks would have took me serious
as
an artist.
Maybe climb a little.
Yeah, it had taken me longer. I wouldn't be where I am now. So there's pros and cons to all those types of things. I can tell you now, I've never tried out for another TV show. Yeah. We've had some offers to do like the private audition things for a bunch of different shows, and have stayed away from like any like label stuff and all that kind of deal.
I've seen a lot of interviews and maybe read some things of people that were like the runner up.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't win because I got to do my own thing. Like, this helped launch my career to a level that I wouldn't have been able to just get.
Yeah.
But it also gave them the freedom to do what they wanted to do. If you win, you are instantly under a contract. You're signed. You're being told what to do, what to dress like, and all that stuff. And you have to kind of abide by the rules for at least... What, 5 years?
I think it's a 7-year deal.
It's a decent amount of time.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yeah.
Of what goes into it. It's not just record companies, it's television.
Yeah. And you lose what's in, and this is just my opinion. And for my music and the world that I live in, I would have lost what was really important to me in the fact that, like, what I was passionate about was writing the songs mm-hmm. and going out and playing the songs that I want to sing. Well, having something to say.
You write good songs and all,
but this guy's this is our pub company. You know, this guy's going to make us more money than this song's more whatever. And with what I'm doing now, I don't have to do that. I can be me. It doesn't have to be popular. It doesn't have to. I'm not. The reason I make music, man, is the connection that I can make with people. Because I'm not the guy that can go out and like just. I don't know. Well, I make my connection through music. I wouldn't be the same person without my music. When I write a song, and I've had two people that we've went to two venues, and one of the songs that I sang, it's a song called Blue Jeans, one of the songs that I wrote earlier in my career, have told me that they are now they were pregnant at the time. They're going to name their kid Rye because the way that they made that song made them feel.
Yeah,
and that's a connection that you can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you make that, when you write that music. So when I'm making music, if I'd have won that show and I'd have done all that type of stuff, then I never would have had that connection that music brings and songwriting brings. It'd all been like it'd have been a job, it'd have been an industry, and it is a job and it is an industry. But I'm able to keep that authenticity, and I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. I'm making my music, and then when I make my music, I can go out and find people who are like me.
I get it.
You know, and that's
and that's what you've been doing.
That's what I've been doing, and I'm we're proud of that.
You're going on how many years now since that? I mean, you said coming back out of the show, coming back home is when you started playing with other musicians.
Yeah, and that's when we got the band together, and that's when we started doing the cover thing, and that's when I really started to become a better musician.
But it's
a
always
artist.
Been your name. You never joined a band.
No, I've never had
band
a
name.
Yeah,
it was always just
band,
Rye Davis and.
Yeah,
the Rye Davis band.
Davis band. I give them a different. I give them a different band name every night. Like,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So we can make sure that we keep it fresh.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, keep it fresh. Keep it.
Well,
fresh.
Well, on a local music level speaking, have you had musicians from Bowling Green area in your bands?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Who's been in your band? I know you've had different people.
Yeah,
come and go over the years. But.
There have been quite a few, actually.
Okay.
Right now, actually, there's another artist that has been playing or has played guitar for me. Me and him do a bunch of shows together. His name's Colton Kice. Me and him kind of do some things together.
Oh, my.
He's a picker, man.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's got a great voice on him. He actually just released his own songs.
Yeah, and I saw that the other day, and I mentioned that my wife is a huge
Colton fan.
Yeah,
so
he put out a record, right? And she's like, really?
Yeah. And he's one of those guys that he's been doing a long time. It feels like he's been doing it forever, and I think he's like 22 or 3 or something.
Young.
Yeah, he's young, and he plays that sound. So I had Colton, me and him's done some shows together. There was my first guitarist was a guy by the name of Nathan Killen, and me and him played together for, I guess it was probably close to 7 or 8 months. He was big part of kind of getting the guys together in that first band, a guy named Anthony Anderson, drum for us.
Yeah,
I don't know if you know Anthony or
I
not.
I do know Anthony, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And then Chris Dillard.
Yes.
He's another local guy. He's a heck of a bass
player.
Chris
and I have worked together off and on over the years.
Okay.
Well, at least there was a span for maybe a year or so.
Yeah.
That we would get called as a pickup.
Yeah, and you come know, in and play.
I'd show up and be like, oh, good, it's you.
Yeah.
Because I played with some really bad bass players.
Yeah.
But I'd walk in to do some cover band gigs with some country artists, and I was always happy to see Chris standing there.
Chris
with
is
his
a solid
bass.
Bass player, man. Yeah, and he's got a good tone on him, too. He's not like a big, it's a real smooth almost tone.
Yeah.
Chris and I have played together. Let me see. Josh Johnson, actually, and he's got a band with his wife called the Jenny Rhodes, and they're going to be opening up for us a couple shows.
Yeah.
I got a show at Spillway. I don't know when this thing's going to air, but that's...
Yeah, really good band.
Yeah. So them and everybody, man. Anybody that wants to jump up there with me, we do that. So, yeah.
But you've always had good musicians.
Absolutely.
You've had no really problem, I guess,
no,
getting anywhere.
No, never. Well, like I said, it was so early, and I still don't consider myself a great musician. I don't think I ever will. I'm one of those guys that like I want to keep learning, and for me to continue to get better, I've got to surround myself with people who are better than I am.
People,
because my strength is in the performance, the songwriting, and just working a crowd. Mm-hmm. And my strength is not in I can't get up there and rip a guitar solo.
Right.
You know what I mean? When it's just me and a guitar, I'm fine. But it's really if you can get the right guys behind you. It's It's really something. So I've been privileged enough to work with some, yeah. And then all I've got to worry about is showing up and singing my songs. You know, you send them the songs and they do it. And I've been privileged enough. Every guy that I named has been nothing but great and put in the time and the work. And it's just, there's been so many, it's a rotating door because, well, money, for one, you know. Right. When you're an independent artist, it's just whenever guys, most of them work other jobs. So they've got to get in and do that thing. And it's, we're just now getting to the point to where it's, about the past year and a half, I've been a full-time musician, full-time in it, doing it. And, of course, like I said, you've got to play 200 shows a year to, you know, get by. And,
but you're also able to do both band and solo.
Yeah, we do band, we do acoustic, and it it helps me stay creative, too. If you go out and you play, you know, we've, like, the last show we did last night was, we did, like, it was like a three-hour show, and when you do a three-hour show, it's about 50% originals, 50% covers. You're playing like it's like a bar scene.
Right.
I'm Louisville that you're trying to get your fans. Well, was it last week? I think it was last week we played a place called Duke's in Indianapolis, completely original show. Hmm. A lot of great new bands are coming through there, great venue, and it was all original, and folks come out to see our music. So we're in a weird spot right now to where – which is a good spot.
I'd say it's a good,
it's a good
weird spot.
It's a good weird spot that we're trying to figure out how to work it to where we can get enough folks out to we're doing all of original shows.
Right.
You know, but at
and
the same time,
that says a lot.
Yeah,
about what
we're
you've
moving in the right direction
and what you've done as an artist. You
yeah,
know?
And with we released an album.
This is my next question: what have you put out so far since you've been doing this?
Okay,
just
we put out
one record.
Well, we put
I know
out.
You've put out singles.
Yes, yeah. We put out a CD when I got off of the show, just to have something kind of while we were hot to be like, okay, we can make a little bit of money to keep us on the road,
right.
Keep our mouths fed. And we put out a CD, but we never released any of that digitally. We just wanted to have something to sell at shows.
Okay,
and so we put that out, and then that's been I don't know how many years, but since then, we had that to kind of just sell at the shows. We released an album called A Story to Tell last year. It's 10 of my songs, mine and my wife and a couple other co-writers. We released that, and it's been going great. We've got a new single coming out this year. We've got two singles ready on the books. We've got an EP done. We're actually going to hit the studio again later. And that's we write. That's what we do. When we're not playing, we're writing.
Right.
And good, bad, or indifferent, we just got to get it out. Because I felt like I had a late start on the writing game, which I really, after talking to a lot of folks who have been doing this a while, really didn't have as late a start as I thought I did.
Right.
So we just write songs, man. And I have been privileged enough. That the other thing that the show done for me was it was an end card. This is back before everybody had been on a show.
Right.
You know, because nowadays it feels like if you've got any credit at all, like a lot of the... Or not any credit, but like now it feels like anybody can kind of get on one of those shows.
That's what I meant earlier. It was like you ride those coattails too.
Yeah, and not there's nothing. There's a lot of great artists out there, but this was early in the game to where it could get me in with some good writers.
Yeah.
So Dan and we're close enough to Nashville. I've been in the room with some really great writers who kind of showed me the ropes on how to compose a song.
Well, the recordings you've released.
Yeah.
Where did you record?
The ones that we released, we recorded at the Sound Emporium in Nashville.
Yeah.
It's a great studio down there. My guitar player actually produced those, Taylor Kropp.
Cool.
So he completely produced everything. We got a great band in there and cut it in the Sound Emporium. I think it took us like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually did like some vocal overdubs and stuff. And then we held on to it for a while just to find out when the best time to release it was.
Right.
And in that process of holding on to it, we've got an EP done. The next EP, is a 5-song EP that we're pretty proud of because we're going to we recorded it at the Bomb Shelter.
Yes.
Yeah, and we cut it live, no click to tape.
Good.
And kept all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like kept the vocal takes.
That studio's really cool.
It is cool.
And it really does hold the. The vibe of old Nashville.
It's vintage for sure. Yeah, and
absolutely.
And drawing from, and that's what the next EP is going to be. It's going to be almost a tribute to where I draw a lot of my influence from.
Good.
It's going to be a tribute to the way that I know I keep throwing his name around, but like the way that Waylon recorded the way that, and like Fogerty and all those, yeah, and those
that's
guys that recorded,
one of my favorites.
They got their band in there, and they just turned it on and started singing until they got the take that they wanted. And that's what we did. And so we're going to do that before we release anything else. So.
Did you ever see Waylon live?
I never seen Waylon live.
Sorry, man.
No, yeah.
I saw him twice.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay.
I saw him at the Ryman Auditorium. I had front row balcony.
Really?
And it was the one that they taped. But then I guess they released it, but it was like an independent company.
Gotcha.
On DVD, but it's on YouTube.
Okay.
And there's some really cool scenes where the camera pans the audience and you can see me and my wife sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
But
awesome.
That was a cool show because he did two nights at the Ryman and he had all these different special guests.
Right.
And Travis Tritt came out. And,
I've seen what you're talking about.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, complete surprise, we went and saw Willie Nelson at Starwood.
Yeah.
It was like me and my brother and my wife and maybe a few friends. And Lyle Lovett opened.
Okay.
It was a great show. And what's cool about the Lyle Lovett performance is Sam Bush was playing mandolin
with him on that
tour. And he introduced Sam. He's like, from Bowling Green, Kentucky, Sam Bush. And the crowd was like, yeah. But Willie came out and was doing his show. And he was like, hang on a second. I need to change guitars. Willie put on a different guitar. And out of the blue, here comes Waylon.
Yeah.
And the place went crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I got to see that.
Man,
but
that's awesome.
They did all the songs.
Yeah.
And it was like, what a great thing. And, I mean, he was gone within a couple years from that.
Yeah.
Not too long after that performance.
That's crazy.
He passed away.
And so. Willie, I mean, you know, Willie may live to be 100. I don't know. But we were lucky enough. He may outlive me. I don't know. He's getting up there. But we actually got to go see Willie, I guess, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, up in, I think it was Evansville. There was a place up there we went and seen him.
I've seen Willie Nelson at least 5 times.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
He's great, man. He's great, yeah.
I'm getting off topic maybe. Who do you like to go see? Who do you like to listen to? Like, obviously, Waylon and the bigs, of course. You're going to name drop them all.
Yeah.
Williams and...
Yeah, as far as shows that I've been to, Willie would have to probably be the number
have
one.
Have you opened for a lot of people that are big? Or
Not big names. Yeah. We've opened for quite a few. We're actually going to be opening for a fellow named Dylan Carmichael here pretty soon. He's kind of an up-and-comer. We opened for a lot of folks who are just, I consider them just like a stage above us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're still working on that part in our career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a lot of names that we would love to open for, for sure. There's a lot of Kentucky boys out there right now that if they're looking for anybody, you know, we can do that. But as far as we hadn't really had a lot of time in the past 5 or 6 years to really go to any
of
the shows.
Just doing your own thing.
Yeah, doing my own thing. So anytime we got a chance to go to a concert, I'd rather be playing kind of out singing my songs, to be honest with you.
That's
so,
cool.
So yeah.
I get that totally.
Yeah, so we've got a goal when you talked about being at the Ryman. That's my dream.
Yeah.
That's the Ryman holds 2,362 people, and that's what we've got. I've got it written on my guitar. I got it written on my mirror at home. That's 2,362. That's we're going to sell out the Ryman at some point in my life. That's what we're going to do.
And if that's your goal, then you stick to it.
That's what we're going to do. And that's one of those things to where like all my heroes have played there.
Yeah. Well,
and
of course, yeah.
I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it as an independent artist and just go out and shake that many hands
that
and sing that many songs.
A pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
And you know, very few have done it.
Not a whole lot.
It has been
done.
It has been done.
And you might as well. I'm one of those guys that I'm gonna dream big and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna do what I can to get her done. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So
well, you definitely march to the beat of your own drum, and I feel like you have been since you got started, especially getting more of the background.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people may think the TV show thing helped launch something.
Yeah,
but
it didn't really do anything.
It didn't win.
I got eliminated the first round. I got 15 seconds.
It got your name
seconds.
Out on exposure. Of course, the Daily News, the local news channels.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's a local guy.
Most people don't even know what that show was.
Yeah, exactly. It's been so long from now. I mean, but at the time, it was hyped up pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, it was one of those things where it made the local folks realize that I wasn't the baseball guy anymore. I was the music guy. And then most of our following is not we have a great local following, and we appreciate everybody that comes out to the shows, but a lot of our lot of our following is up around. We've got a little niche market out in Texas, and we've got some stuff going on like around Lexington and Indianapolis and places like that. So there's a lot of independent music coming out of Lexington, and we've kind of really hit that because it's like 2 hours, you know, east and northeast, and we can make that drive and come back home. And there's a lot of folks up there that that support us too. So Bowling Green and there, and it's
well, as far as locally speaking, I know you play the Spillway.
Yes.
Do you play Rib Liquors?
I have played Rib Liquors. It's been. I used to do a regular thing at both those places.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else locally have you done?
Like
maybe an event or something? Or do you just kind of stick to the clubs that.
When I first got started, I played everywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere that would have me. I used to do. I've played, of course, Rib Liquors. I play Sidelines. I've played there out in Glasgow. They've got a little thing out there. I don't know. The only place I know that I haven't played, I think I've played all the places. I think maybe Jonetta's. I don't think I've ever played there.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, you know, there's a. When I first got started, especially, we used to play Doug's, Dolphy's.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Oh, it's been a while. When I first, I'm telling you, man, I'd play anywhere that Doug's, Dolphy's, Spillway. Of course, played Tidballs a couple times.
I thought so.
And then, like I'm a country guy.
Yeah.
You know. So and I'm pretty raw country. Like country and like a classic.
You're as
Southern
country
rock.
As a hay bale.
Yeah. It's as country as it gets as far as that goes, and. My music definitely has a lot of Fogerty influences
I think
and stuff, but
country fits into the world of acceptable music.
Yeah,
genre. You know what I mean. It's not that corny stuff.
Yeah, it's not. It's country, but it's not. It's not what you hear on the radio.
Right.
It's not.
I mean,
and
of course. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just it's mine.
But like Waylon Jennings and Johnny Cash could walk in Tidballs and.
Oh, for sure.
Because of who they are, but musically speaking.
Yeah, musically
like
speaking.
Like, that's anything in my mind, country that has the rockabilly roots.
Absolutely.
It's still got rock and roll.
It's still got
power and energy.
And there's a fine line, and people don't realize this, between a real country music and a rock and blues.
Right.
Like, there's not that much, like, I mean, the Headhunters, for example, they're, you know, they're a blues and rock band, but, they're country songs.
Yeah.
You know, they are. And the feel that you're going to get, like, if you didn't classify a lot of those guys as who they are, like, Waylon Jennings, my influence, I mean, Waylon, they were a rock band, man. You know?
I mean, Waylon played for Buddy Holly.
Yeah,
I mean,
played for Buddy Holly. Those connections, and there's a lot of...
I feel like that transition in that era, the 50s, of country music, which at that point was Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
You had the pop country, but it was more of that, what they would call the Nashville sound, where they had strings and almost that kind of stuff. But then you had Hank Williams and, you know, the more rooted guys.
Anything that's honest.
Guitar, bass, maybe even a drum if they even had
Yeah, if they had one, yeah.
But some of them got by with more of the rockabilly band setup.
Yeah.
It just didn't have the energy of rockabilly. It was more toned down. But the worlds met, and it brought rockabilly.
It absolutely did.
It's rock and roll.
There's some movement today going on, too, man. Yeah. And there's a lot of folks who are considered country that have a lot of that same roots, and you could tell they got a lot of that influence in that rock and roll and blues type stuff. I mean, even just out of Kentucky, I mean, you look at, like, you know, Stapleton, of course, Sturgill.
Yeah.
Tyler?
I didn't know much about Sturgill Simpson until someone turned me on to it.
Yeah, that Meta Modern album, man.
It was, like...
It's killer.
It wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And I think that was good. It kind of shocked me a little bit. I was like, I was like, what is this? This is really cool. That's Sturgill Simpson. I was like, really?
Yeah. You know, a bluegrass guy. You know? Yeah. And that movement, and I think it probably is brought on with the age of people finding their music different places. Like, you can go now and you can find whatever music you want to listen to via, like, YouTube or a podcast or any of the outlets there. You're not forced to listen to what is... considered popular. You can go out and find your music. And I think we're definitely a part of that movement with, I'm not putting myself on the pedestal of that, but my type of music is definitely like that little movement that we just, those guys name there. And then guys like, even like a, I think I'm more like a Cody Jinks style than I would be.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And that's, than I would be with anything mainstream. And I'm proud of that. You know, that's mine. And we're going to own that. So,
well, speaking of finding music online, where can everyone find you? Which obviously this should be easy.
Sure. They can find me at the first place you can go to RyDavis.com.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can go to RyDavis.com. It's got all of our stuff on there, links and shows and music. And we're everywhere. As far as I know, we're everywhere. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube. I don't know. Just Google it.
Google it.
You can Google it. It'll pop up there, man. It'll do it.
I had a feeling it would.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where do I go from here? Oh, yeah. Here's a good question.
Okay, lay it on me.
Locally speaking, Bowling Green, Glasgow, South Central Kentucky area, who out there today are you a fan of?
All of them. So the biggest, the guys that I see working, there's two bands.
I mean, you mentioned Colton Kies.
Colton,
I mean,
right. Well, me and Colton, I mean, that's an obvious. Me and him are in the same realm.
You're buddies, but you're also a fan.
Right, I'm a fan of Colton. So there are, actually, I guess it'd be, Colton would be the number one just because I know he's out there working. He plays more shows than I do, and I play a lot of shows. And he's out there. The Josephines have got something really cool going. They've got something real cool. Josh Thurman's got a real cool thing going, and then Kiss Kiss Bang's got a cool thing going too, man. They're working hard, and they're out there putting their time in and learning their craft and keeping their head above water, just like everybody's trying to do.
Yeah,
so
let's recently interviewed Malcolm and Clayton. So
okay, yeah, good deal, good deal.
Following behind their episodes.
good deal, man. So there's a lot of music going on.
There's a lot of
music,
and it's very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really cool about our music scene.
Yeah.
And it's got pretty much everything.
Yeah. And I mean, you talking, I mean, the guys that I just named, you can't get further apart from that.
No.
You know, I mean, with Colton kind of doing his thing with just keeping it country as cornbread, man, and ain't nothing wrong with that.
That kid can sing some incredible.
Oh, you ever hear him sing that Keith Whitley stuff?
I have.
Oh, man, he can do that. And then, I mean, when you're talking about you going across the board to, I mean, and Josh is a great songwriter doing his own thing with, well, Axe and Oak, and then, I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang, they're straight up rock and roll.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at the Josephines and, they're their own thing,
awesome.
You know, and it's great, you know, and
I know that you do some shows every now and then with No Deceit.
Yeah, No Deceit's great.
And they're a big fan of yours.
Yes,
I've heard
No Deceit.
Allison mentioned your name several times.
Absolutely, we've done quite a few shows with them. Actually, when we played at Rib Liquors all the time, we played up there, and we do a lot of show swapping with them
as well. Seems like they're on the same trail as you. Noticed you guys play a lot of the same venues.
Yeah, we do a lot of the same venues. We've never gotten together and actually like done any writing or anything like that. And to be honest, I've only listened to. I got to hear the CD that they put out like a couple times, and I really like their original music, and I like where they're going.
Yeah.
And it's like, to be honest, we don't do enough with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, we don't get a chance to work hand in hand because we all stay so busy.
Right.
So, but I would consider they're more of a, like a Central Kentucky thing too. Aren't they from Campbellsville?
I believe so.
So, from that area.
They play a lot around here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Glasgow. And I noticed you all play at, was it Mammy's?
Bardstown. Yeah. Well, that girl can sing. Yeah. Allison can. She can sing. Allie can. Every band from around here that is out there doing their original music is just
something to be proud of.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're a part of it.
Yeah, I'm part of it. You know, I'm trying to do my thing and help.
How long has it been now since you really got going? Maybe we mentioned this earlier, but
we've been doing.
As far as you getting off of that television show run and getting going as. Finding a band, doing your thing, doing your solo. How long has it been now?
We've been doing it, what I would consider, professionally and full time for right at 2 years. Yeah. So
it seems longer than
that. We've been making the music, right, and we've been
You're learning and cutting your teeth.
Yeah. What I would consider for me being Ry Davis and doing my thing, mm-hmm, would I say would be 2 years. Now we've been doing it for probably somewhere between five and seven years.
I was going to say it's
That we've been doing
10 years, give or take. Mm-hmm, I figured it was something of that nature.
But for me, figuring out who I am is what I'm basing that timeline on, because I feel like you've got to go out and find out what you're not, and you've got to go out and find out what a lot of folks don't really want to admit is you got to go out and you got to play the shows and you got to cut your teeth and you got to do the shows you don't want to do. And we've done hundreds of those. Like I said, we were talking before we got on here. I mean, I've been out west with classic country cover bands on the line dancing halls and stuff. And we played, I've played 600 or 700 shows of just finding out who I am and what I'm doing.
Right.
So, but as far as like my music, I'm out here doing my thing. I'd say 2 years, and everything before that, I consider a learning experience.
That's awesome.
Because we weren't able to keep the bills paid before this 2 year deal. Because I've probably had 15 different jobs just trying to keep, you know, because music always came first.
Yeah.
And then I would work wherever they would hire me, and I'd do whatever I had to do to do that. But as far as like
go on the road
and then go on the road and have to, I mean, I've quit 3 jobs just because of, for a, you know, a 2 week run, you know, so that's just how that works.
If you can do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of jobs, I don't know what this is or what happened, but you were at 95 WGGC the radio, right?
Yeah.
You were on the morning show.
Yeah, I was
a co-host. You're no longer there, though, right?
I'm no longer there. I'm no longer there.
Because you used to post, I guess it was maybe a Song Monday or something like that. What was that called?
That's actually how I got the job.
Write a Song Wednesday.
Write a Song Wednesday, That's how I got the job, man.
How you do? That's cool.
I was working for a company as a parts van. I used to sell chicken barn parts, like there's a lot of moving, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, I grew up doing that. We've got a family farm, but still help out on mom and dad's place. And so I was working that job, and then I went in one morning. I took a day off work. It was a Wednesday because they'd asked me to come in and do a thing called Write a Song Wednesday.
Okay.
And I got on, and you get a topic, and you get 45 minutes. You write a song and make it funny. And get on there, and they basically just turned the microphone on and said, "Keep these people entertained."
Yep.
So by golly, that's what I did, and
so
I did that, and then that I wrote a song. I can't remember what it was. I've done it like 30 something. I've got a bunch of those Write a Song Wednesday songs, and Kelly, who's out there right now, said you're really good at this. You should come on the morning show with us. You should work with us. You know, you just be kind of the comedic relief and just be you. Just
so
be
you
right.
You were brought in to be like a DJ, and that was like a job.
Well, I mean, yes.
You
I got
a check, but.
Yeah, I got paid.
Like
I was
a full blown radio DJ.
Well, I turned into one.
You did.
Yeah, they showed me how to kind of do all that stuff. And,
this button.
Yeah, you know, and so we went in, and I was the co-host with at the time it was Late Night Kelly and Rye.
Yeah.
And we were the Goober Morning Crew, and they had me on there just basically, which is where the "Hi Y'all, How's Your Mom" and them coming in, because they turned on the mics one day, and it was like, talk to them. So I was like, "Hi Y'all, How's Your Mom?" And you just being me, and it didn't take off, but we definitely got
to morning radio slapstick.
Yeah. And so we another long story short, because this could get real long. Kelly said, "You'll try working here," and I was like, "Well, hey, don't tempt me." I thought she was kidding you. I said, "Don't tempt me a good time. I'll quit tomorrow." Well, I'll be damned. She called me or shot me a text. She was like, "Hey, if you want to come in and try it out, you can start Monday." And this was like of course, when she texted me, it was Thursday.
Yeah.
So I told my boss, I was like, I didn't have the job, but I'm the type of person that, like, when I commit to something, I'm going in. I'm diving in. So I said, "Hey, I got a job at a radio station. Tomorrow's my last day." So I quit, and went and luckily I wound up getting the job.
Yeah.
And it was a great thing. But then we just got so busy. It's early mornings. It was a live show, and we had to be there.
Five in the morning.
Yeah. See, so I'd have to wake up at 4:00. And like I said, at the time I had a regular Wednesday gig, and then we would be within. We play another Kentucky show on Thursday. At the time, I was playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And occasionally, we would do like a Sunday like day show like down in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
So I was playing 4 to 5 shows a week, and then I would have to get up. I mean, you get in at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's dedication.
And then you got to get up and do a radio. I didn't sleep. And a lot of people are like,
Yeah, but you're playing music.
Yeah, but you're playing music and this and that. But it's work, man. It's work. It's a lot of work.
It does take work.
Yeah, and it was wearing me out, and I couldn't stay healthy. I was getting sick all the time for just having, just being on the road.
You got to have home.
Yeah, you got to have time to rest, and I didn't have that. And then on top of that, I was trying to help out around the farm and stuff too. Yeah. And like we were getting, there was one point, and me and my wife talked about it before I wound up just committing to music. It was one point where I got like 6 or 8 hours of sleep in a week. You know, it was just like you just nap and get up and go, and it's all for chasing down a dream, man.
Yeah.
We were also recording an album at the time. It was just, and we're nearly as. It's turning into that again. Yeah. You know, when we got off, we played Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're coming in here doing this today. We've got a radio thing tomorrow. We are going, it's busy. Yeah. And it's great. It's a good problem to have, but we've got to – but the radio,
you've built your own problem.
Yes, I've built that problem. And everybody, a lot of folks can see the momentum now. And I think the most important part to me – is I think the music's starting to speak for itself.
Right.
I think people can see that, like, okay, he's got all this stuff going on, and, like, he's got the personality, he's done the DJ thing, he's done the baseball thing, he's been the TV shows. But when it comes down to it, if you didn't know any of that...
Yeah, take all that away.
If you took all that away, and you're listening to the music, and you're listening to the songs, mm-hmm. you can see that every day when we wake up, we put the time in, we write, and we try to put the music together, and we practice.
Right.
We're trying to make that connection through music and what's important to us. And I think if you put our music, if you didn't know all that stuff, and you put our music there, you would say, okay, this guy's, he's doing it. He's
the real deal.
And that's what's important. And it means a lot to me personally to see where we've come, because if you'll go watch that Rising Star video and see how raw that I was,
right.
And then you come to a Ry Davies show now.
Night and day.
I'm not even the same person.
Yeah.
And I think that you have – the one thing that I've learned, and this is, through the baseball thing and having a farming background and having and then falling flat on my face on national television live.
Ah.
Well, to me it was.
Yeah,
I think to be successful, you have to fail. And you've got to fail miserably.
Yeah.
And you've got to crawl from the bottom all the way to the top. And I think we're just now getting to – we fell off – like, I have fallen off a mountain, rolled down another mountain into a valley, and I think we're just now getting to the valley and starting to climb up the bottom of the mountain to where we want to be.
There you go.
And we've got a long way to go, but I know what the recipe is for that, and the recipe for that is just put in – it's elbow grease, man.
Yeah.
It's coffee stains and elbow grease, and just staying awake and putting the time in and getting inspired by other music and seeing what these other people are doing and how they're making a connection with all these people in the world, and going out and finding the people and not worrying about the people who don't like it, not worrying about trying to impress them. I don't care about them. I care about the people who are like me,
right.
And I care about the people who have the connection, the love for the type of music that I'm making.
Yep.
So that's what we're doing.
And that's what you're going to continue.
Yeah, continue to do. So
I cannot think of a better way to end this.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Absolutely.
Rye, I appreciate your time so much for joining
me
today, and I appreciate you telling us your story. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have learned a lot about you that they maybe didn't know.
Yeah. Well, I hope it helps.
That's the point of these podcasts, man. Capturing our local music scene. In stories, and you, sir, are very much part of this local music scene.
Well, I appreciate you guys doing what you do and bringing the light to it, man.
All right. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you on the road.
See ya.